Here's Higdon. It sits up nicely for Michael Higdon. And what a start for Motherwell. But here's Malt, and he goes for it for Son. Magnificent Malt. Stephen Robinson celebrates. Motherwell, 2-1. And could that be the goal that puts him into the Betfred Cup final?
He's got Irwin. The supporting links from Ainsworth on the angle. Lionel Ainsworth fires home.
It's Lasley deep into stoppage time. Up goes Sutton. No foul given. Kerr. And Reid is there to knock it in. The goal is given. Hesitation for Craig Reid, who scores his first ever goal in senior football. And what a moment for Motherwell.
Hello and welcome to episode 4 of 14 of the special editions of the MFC podcast. Today I'm joined by a duo that spent between them 21 years at Fir Park, experiencing some real highs and lows during that time, from cup finals to European football to relegation dogfights. All happened during the careers of Keith Lasley and John Sutton at Fir Park. Guys, thank you very much for joining me.
No problem at all. Nice to be here, Sparrow.
Yeah, happy to be here as always, Farah.
Okay, guys, we've talked for a wee bit before we came on about the current landscape of Scottish football, and I think we've all kind of agreed that we're not 100% sure what's going on because nobody does seem to. We've had a vote, there's been plenty of complexities to it. It looks like the season is going to be halted, which I guess from a muddled perspective, great. Looks like we should be playing in Europe next season, lads. First and foremost, I guess congratulations in order because it has been a fantastic season. Not really the way you would have wanted it to end. In fact, I'm pretty sure that's far from the way you wanted it to end. But you must be deep down, I'm sure when you reflect on it, you'll be very pleased that the team have finished the season from what looks like third place.
Yeah, I mean, I think we'll probably hang fire just in case there is any final twists in the tale, which, going by what's happened so far, there may be a good chance. But no, listen, I mean, if it is and it goes through and, you know, ultimately, as you say, it's not the way we'd have liked it at the end of it. I think everybody would like to have get out in the pitch and finished it out there as usual. But listen, it's obviously an extreme set of circumstances and, you know, it is what it is, and we just need to adapt as a club and go with it and, you know, and move forward whatever way is eventually chosen. So, you know, if it looks as if it may be, that may be it, then, yeah, I mean, I think we spoke about it before on the podcast of summing the season up, and it's been a few ups and downs, but in terms of a form, particularly after the new year, you know, there's a little bit of a dip there. But as I said to you before, I think in your intro there, you even mentioned of, you know, highs and lows of Motherwell over a 20-year period, and I think that's what you get. I think at our club, it's very rare that you're going to have a season or you know, a 6 months. It's just going to go in a straight line up, if you like. You know, there's going to be little bumps in the road, and yeah, we've had a few, but I think overall we sit here and having finished, you know, three quarters of the season, if you like, and sitting in third place, I think is a good achievement for the players and for the club, and you know, something hopefully, you know, that may get rewarded with European football. Who knows? We'll wait and see on that one. But I'm certainly satisfied with a lot of what's happened this year.
And John, when I've been recording these podcasts, I've always been keen to stress the fact that the football's so far down in the list of priorities just now. But Scottish football never fails to hit the headlines. I don't know how positive all of this has been. It's certainly been clouded in controversy. It's a very abrupt end and a very confusing end to the season.
Yeah, it's a bit strange. In terms of, as far as I can make out with the leagues in Europe, Belgium's the only one to have called off before Scotland, and I believe that they had the champions mathematically crowned. They had the relegation issue sorted out, and they only had a game to play. So Scotland sort of being a pioneer in the way it's gone about it, sort of gone ahead with things before UEFA have decided. But I don't really know the ins and outs of it. you just hope that, like you say, that there's bigger things going on at the moment, and that that can get sorted as quickly as possible. And once that's sorted, I'm sure everyone's looking forward to just getting back to work generally. And I'm sure fans are looking forward to going back to Saturdays at 3 o'clock and being able to support their team again.
Let's go back. We'll look at your career at Motherwell, and we'll discuss amongst us some of the highlights. European trips were commonplace, and particularly in your first spell at Motherwell. The first season was on the back of a great season under Mark McGee, and the team would go over to France to play Nancy in that year. What's your memories of that? For me, it was kind of like going on holiday with 3,000 people turning up that you already knew, which was completely bizarre. Considering the average home crowd at Fir Park, to take 3,000 to France for a UEFA Cup tie was quite magnificent and quite an experience.
Yeah, I remember, obviously, you're going out there, everyone's excited, being a European game, but getting to the stadium an hour and a half or something like that before the game, just going out on the pitch and seeing the amount of Motherwell fans that were in there, you know, it was absolutely brilliant. We got a decent result over there. We lost 1-0, and we sort of half fancied a chance of taking them back to Fir Park, and it was a bit of a disappointment. We lost 2-0. It was a scrappy game. It could have gone either way. And it's disappointing that we never really got our noses in front. On the night, I think that would have made it very, very interesting. And at that stage, Scotland's coefficient was so much better than it was now. So if we'd have got through to that, we were into the group stages. Obviously, things have changed a little bit since then, but in terms of the support, both away from home, and then it was pretty much a full house at Fir Park. There were two really good occasions.
Lads, in terms of European games, I think that's the one that stands out, that first tie. It had been so long since the club had been in Europe. The excitement levels, how easy it was to access Nancy as well. It was just a kind of ideal tie. What is maybe forgotten, because they weren't one of the big names in French football, was how good a side they were.
No, absolutely. And I think so he'll maybe agree. To me, particularly playing in the first couple of European games, you know, I know, went on in subsequent years to have a few more chances to play, but it definitely felt like a different style of football, a different type of opponent you were up against, for me, certainly. And can I get into grips of some of the European way? And you know, I remember particularly midfield, and can always in the kind of combative area of the pitch, if you like, in terms of tackling and things like that, and pressing. And these European players certainly seem to have a bit more clever, shall we say, in terms of using their bodies and when to use them, and maybe when to gain a foul now and again and things like that. So it was certainly a kind of learning curve, I felt, as well, in terms of football sense. And I think you know, in those games, I think there was times within the games, particularly at Fir Park, where maybe we were just a little bit of a lack of experience, shall we say, in terms of how good they were, in terms of killing the game at times maybe and controlling the tempo of the game. But as you say, there were some good individuals. I think Nguema, who went on to play for Celtic. I think Kamara, who played Celtic and down south in the Premiership. So, you know, I'm sure there's a couple more. But I think there was certainly individuals within that team, that were good players. And I don't think you finished fourth or fifth in the French league. I think you're a pretty decent side. So, a tough opponents. And as I said, it was probably the kind of start of an education, if you like, in terms of football, coming up against these, you know, different styles and different types of teams in the European competition.
What about the subsequent years in terms of the Europa League? There was the following season, we had the three ties, Clonakilty, Flamaturi, and then the game against Steaua Bucharest. The following year, we were in Iceland, we played the Norwegian side at Ålesund, and then eventually went out to Odense from Denmark. What are the kind of abiding memories of these ties? Because we were playing regular European ties, due to the fact we were going in perhaps very early in the competition. Did that give you that wee bit of nous and wee bit of experience of playing against different cultures and different styles?
Yes, it did. I remember qualifying for the Nestle game. I think we got in via a fair play award. And I think it was pointed out that we wouldn't get long off during the off-season. So I believe the last game of the season, there's a few tackles flying in to try and get a couple of bookings or red cards to maybe change that scenario. But when we did start we were back early. It was a huge change at the club with Jim Gannon taking over. It was a massive player turnover as well. And it was a really good adventure. We certainly didn't start off too well against Llanelli. That was a low point. You talk about different styles of play. I believe they had someone playing for them who held the world record for the longest throw-in. So anywhere from sort of the halfway line, it was sort of landing in a box. But we managed to play pretty well down there and got through that. The Flamatari game, I think that was the hottest game of football I've ever played in. And there wasn't much going in the way of air conditioning or anything like that in the stadium, in the changing room. I remember that game because I scored a penalty, but Slaney had sort of encroached. And then the keeper saved the next penalty. Slaney insisted he didn't encroach and said nothing to do with him until we got back and then we saw a picture in the paper where he's almost high-fiving the goalie when I'm hitting the penalty. But all worked out okay in the end. I think we won the second game by a hell of a lot of goals. I think it was 9-1 or something like that off the top of my head. Then the Bucharest game, it was an absolutely brilliant atmosphere out there. The ground was absolutely rocking. I think Big John Ruddy made his debut. We lost possibly 3-0. I think if Big John
had, it
could have been, you know, a few more than that. And then at home, it was a strange game because we actually played really, really well. We went a goal up and we sort of had, you know, half. You felt on the pitch you had half a chance of doing something, but obviously we never managed it in the end. But I think as Les says, it was coming to terms with different styles of play against some very good players a lot of the time, and it was certainly, you know, an education for all of us.
Yeah, I can remember the game in Wales, and obviously the week before in Airdrie, it's been a surprise defeat. And then half the Clonakilty players were in the boozer the night before the game, and I thought, this is maybe actually our opportunity to advance to the next round. Can you remember the guy, Andy Mumford, that was in the middle of the park for them as well?
It was large.
Yeah, it's kind of like the boy Akin Fem were, but a wee bit bigger.
listen, it sort of seems with so many, I think particularly in that little run, that wasn't a particularly great time for myself at the club with our great leader at that point, as I'm sure sort of will back up. But listen, I mean, that run particularly was, I talk about different, said earlier, but coming up against different styles of opponent. And you just said there, you know, a kind of Welsh team where there were all shapes and sizes, shall we say. And then, you know, you go to a place like Bucharest and a very kind of, I always remember the atmosphere that night. Sort of remember as well as you mentioned in terms of each stand. One stand was singing to the other stand, and that kind of that real feel of that real old fashioned sort of stadium, open air stadium. And it was that something else. And Flamatari as well, a totally different experience again. You know, kind of pitch in the middle of nowhere, grass up to your knees, playing it. I think the kickoff was, I think it was during the day. Was it maybe 2 or 3 o'clock or something during the day? It was,
Yeah, I think so, because there wasn't any floodlights.
That's right. That's what it was. It didn't have any floodlights, and it was, you know, so we had to play during the day. But the heat being ridiculous. So, I mean, you go through the three games, it's just totally different experience, all three of them, you know. So it was, I think it just goes to show it's, I think it helped you as a player coming up against different, different styles of football, different cultures, if you like. But I think the European thing as a whole, I don't know if sort of would agree, for me, the biggest disappointment was actually the following year, was the year that I think Odense ended up putting us out, because I know John was saying about us having a chance against Nancy, but I think the biggest chance that I felt was the Odense game. You know, it was that year, I think, we got past a good Breidablik side who, you know, were technically excellent. You know, I think the aggregate scores against them and Ellison, I think, flattered us, to be honest with you. Thinking back and having played in the games, you know, both teams had some really good technical players, and I think we were lucky to get through in such comfortable fashion in the end, to be honest. And then the Odense game, where, if anything, again, I don't know if John will agree, was, I think, in some ways, the easier of the ties in terms of the general game, but, you know, we just couldn't, you know, Tom scores a great late free kick over and come back with that away goal, and that was a chance to get into the group stage. You think it's just been a great to get through three ties and get into a group, and, you know, that's the one I certainly still look back on and think that was the chance, you know, that was the chance to get Motherwell into a group stage of European competition, and it's the one you get that wee bit of regret about, to be honest.
Yeah, no, I completely agree with what Laz says, and that was the real disappointing one. Yeah, I think when you get in the draw, you either want a really, really big team, or you want, you know, a team you feel you can beat. And on that run of games, the Icelandic team was a really tricky tie. And I remember talking to Laz and talking to the boys about it afterwards. And, you know, in fairness, we should have beat Llanelli. The Icelandic team, we came off the pitch thinking they had some really, really good players. And, you know, you've seen how Iceland have done as a nation, as in international football. And looking back, you can see why that's happened. And then the Alisson game was, again, a really, really good team, I thought. And, you know, we done well to get through. And you know things are going quite well for you when Johnny Page is scoring in Europe in the 90th minute or something. So that was a great result. And then, like Laz says, when we played Odense, we probably felt, in some respects, say, when you're on the pitch, that was the easiest of all the games. And we got a good result away from home, and we just couldn't put it away at home. And it was that was a bit of a sickener. I think I can't remember how the scoring went, but I remember Murph took a penalty and had been taking him in training, and he'd just been scoring. And I'm not sure whether he hit the inside of the post, and it's just one of those things. It just wasn't our night at that time. And you think back, and if you, there's a few games you'd like to play again in your career, but that would certainly be one of them.
I want to talk about another game from that season that come up time and time again, I'm sure, when you look back in your careers, but the 6-6 game to finish that season. Obviously, Jim Gannon left around Christmas time. Craig Brown and Archie Knox come in. The dynamic seemed to change. There was opportunities afforded to guys that perhaps maybe thought that the time at the football club was up, given how things had been playing out.
Are you talking about Laz there, Sparrow?
Well, he's one of many. That's something we've discussed there. But feel free to discuss it again.
What
I would say is, though, when I've spoken to you both about Jim Gannon, both of you, on reflection, have said that some of his methods you can now see, given that you're on the coaching side of things, you can actually see what he was trying to do, despite the fact that the way he went about it wasn't quite so so good, to say the least.
Go on, let's
absolutely. You know, I think that I'm sure John will... I'll back that up 100%. I mean, I think now, you know, both John and I are both in the coaching side of it now, and I think you can take a lot of, you know, stuff that he's done on the training ground. You know, very forward thinking in a lot of areas. It was just that personal side of it, that human side of it, that he just didn't have. He just didn't have that skill set. He didn't have. I don't think he had the right people around him. I think what he had around him was basically people that would just carry out tasks, what he wanted them to do. I don't think there was very many dissenting voices. And I don't mean that, you want a group that's together, even in your coaching group. But I think what you need in a coaching group is a level of aptitude, for one, in terms of being good at your job, but, opinion and willing to challenge, the direction of, whether that be training or how you're actually going about it tactically or recruitment or whatever that may be. And I think it was, at that point, it was the manager's way or the highway. And I think everybody, even his own staff, were of that same feeling. They were under that. And I think if he did have that side of it, he did, have that personal touch, if you like, in terms of man-managing, if he added that string to his bow, if you like, I think he had the potential to be a very good manager for Motherwell, but it just wasn't the case. And if anything, off the pitch, I think there was some good performances on the pitch. I think there was some good evidence that what we were doing on the training pitch was there. We went through a period where we had far too many draws. I think that was the kind of nail in the coffin, if you like, but I think it did cause a divide off of the pitch, and not just within the dressing room, but I think within the club as a whole. And I think everybody knows it's been in their club that what ultimately made it prosper and be what it's been for the last, certainly the last 20 years that I've been involved in it, is that togetherness and that feeling that everybody's pulling in the right same direction, everybody's valued, everybody's a part of what happens at 3 o'clock on a Saturday. And for me personally, I felt that wasn't the case around about that time, and ultimately that then came to a head. But strictly back to the kind of technical side of it, absolutely, and he was certainly talented as a coach, and certainly still some things that we've worked on that I pick at and keep in my head when I'm coaching at the moment.
I'd agree with that. It's interesting because every time, obviously, I take the Morton reserves now and we play Motherwell, we try and do a throw-in that Jim Gannon used to do. I know Motherwell do a throw-in that Jim Gannon do, and we talk about trying to stop it. And I think, like Laz says, there's a lot of things that the boss, myself, and him learned over his time there. As a personality, I think it's fair to say he was interesting. he was
good choice of words. Sorry, good choice of words.
Maverick would be another adjective for it. and as much as that it was interesting, it was certainly entertaining as well. Certainly driving in with Laz and McGarry. through training,
training.
It
certainly
kept us entertained.
No, you're the guest. You go for it.
I was just gonna say what Laz said. I'm obviously been away from the club for a little while now, but what Laz has said about the togetherness, everyone always thinks of Motherwell as a top six club, and when you look at the club as well as it's done over the years. I think there is something with Motherwell. People take things for granted. The amount of times they qualified for Europe, the amount of cup finals they've gone to, the amount of cup runs they've gone to. And if you compare the size of Motherwell to, other teams of that sort of stature, you see Mirrens, you see Johnstons and teams like that. It's incredible how well they've done over the years. And I think a lot of the time people sort of take it for granted. What's gone on at Motherwell, it has been brilliant. And like Laz says again, I think we always used to get written off. We used to go back in for pre-season and get told we're probably going to get relegated. We lost this player, we got that player. But over a period of time, the togetherness at the club has been really, really strong. The people who work there, from the kit man to the people who work in the office, it's a great environment to work in. And, hopefully next season, whenever it begins, it will continue to keep going from strength to strength.
I know I'm jumping all over the place here. I was just actually reading a dense match report, and what I'd completely forgotten about was Craig Brown punching the sports director after the game as well. I got a shove and I had a retaliatory punch. was the quote that I don't want to get messed about, and I wasn't going to be messed about, so he hooked him.
I can tell you something about Craig Brown. This is going in a different direction, right enough. I didn't know. I don't know whether you know this, Les, but there was a lot of debate with our reserve team and the person I work with whether Craig Brown could walk on his hands. And this has been going on for months until someone actually had Craig Brown's number and we called him and actually spoke to our and he confirmed that he could walk on his hands and he used to do it quite regularly.
That is a world exclusive. I need to see some footage. I would pay to see.
That's definitely what lockdown needs. We need.
I was just thinking, though, lads, his knees until he had the operation were never that good, were they? So maybe, you know, he decided to walk on his hands a bit more efficient.
An alternative.
But he was a great guy, by the way. He was a brilliant manager as well.
Yeah, I actually thought a bit, Craig, sorry, the thing in there. I think he was. I always speak about him for my own. You know how I finished my career at Mullow. He was probably the guy. You know, you go back to say people that thought they were leaving. I mean, I literally was leaving like 1 or 2 days. Unless Craig came in, so
sorry, lads, I didn't want to say anything here, right? But how I understood it was you were leaving until we played that reserve game away at Hearts that day.
That's right. And we get beat 7-0 or whatever it was.
Hold on, 7-1, I've got a goal that day.
7-1, you did. Yeah, I'll be some reserve team as well. That was the one thing about Jim Gannon's era. We had some reserve team. What was the reserve team that day? Sorry, me, you, Craig, Steve McGarry.
I don't want to be too harsh on the goalie, but he possibly left a little bit to be desired at times.
but we could have given the reserve league a good run that year if we'd have stayed together. But getting back to Craig, he was not just from I say how important he was to me personally, but I think just for the football club as a whole, for somebody, you know, when Jim Gannon left, I think whoever came in next year was going to be crucial, you know, for how our club was going to go forward in that next couple of years. And I think Craig was the perfect guy for that. You know, to me, the absolute polar opposite, you know, somebody that can bring people together. And I think that's all that the club needed at that point. I don't know if Sutty would agree, because there was, I think, again, another good, I think, point that Jim had was a lot of his recruitment was actually very good. You know, we had a lot of good players within the building, but it was just bringing them all together in the right way. You know, the guys that he brought in and the guys, you know, that were already here and maybe been discarded. You know, if you could bring somebody in to basically bring those two factions together, if you like, or bring that whole thing into the one mix. And to me, Craig and Archie, to be fair, for me, you know, that was a really important appointment for the club. And I know it never ended well with Craig, you know, obviously going on to Aberdeen and however else that ended, but I still maintain that I think that appointment of the club is probably has been as important as any in the last, you know, certainly 10, 20 years.
Yeah, no, I'd completely agree with that. I think Craig, or old manager's biggest strength was his man management. The atmosphere, the place just seemed to change over the night, and like Lad said, there was a hell of a lot of talent there, and he seemed to get the best out of all of us. I mean, he used to play us left wing, which was slightly dubious at times, but I love playing for him. And again, with Motherwell over the years, I know we spoke about, you know, in my opinion, the club's punched way over its weight. But in terms of the games that we played in, there always seemed to be just so many goals and 3-2s and 4-3s. And obviously we topped off with the 6-each that time. In my time there, all the managers sort of brought something different to the place. But continually through that time as well, always seem to, and since I left as well, a lot of people, it always seems to be high scoring. there always seems to be excitement at the club and some great football to watch as well.
I'm glad you mentioned it, the 6-6 game, because I got really distracted by Craig Brown walking in his hand. So I think that was a question about 10 minutes ago. But that game is rightfully remembered as just I take it as a typical Motherwell game, to be honest, because just so many emotions in the one night. I know you'll possibly disagree because of the outcome, lads, but the Scottish Cup game at Fir Park against St Mirren quite recently, it kind of had the same sort of feeling towards the end. Yeah. When
oh, absolutely.
The fourth goal goes in, you're thinking, my God, how are we still in this tie? We looked absolutely dead and buried at 4-1, going into half-time, but and then could have went on to win it, and then you obviously get the negative at the end and the disappointment of losing in penalties. But on that night, we did get the draw and celebrated it like a win, I suppose. It was such a significant night as well in terms of European qualification. Dead and buried at 6-2. At what point do you start to believe, though, that you're coming back into it a wee bit? And Hibs visibly seemed rocked at points towards the conclusion of that game.
Was that one for you, Les?
No, on you go. I never played. I was injured.
Oh, that's probably why I scored a few goals.
You're probably right.
I don't think we were thinking about getting in back into it, to be honest. I think we were more concerned about what Archie might do to us after the game. when he walked in the dressing room. And ironically, I think our defensive record was very, very strong since Archie and Craig had come in. Big John Ruddy was an unbelievable goalie, and it's always tough to say he's the best goalie I played with, because I've been fortunate to play with a lot of good goalies, but I thought he was unbelievable. I mean, Darren Randolph was absolutely fantastic as well. But so we had him in goal. So it's unusual for us to concede as many goals as that, but like you say, it's typical Motherwell. We had so much attacking talent in the team. Obviously, Luka Djukovic scored, well, just what an incredible goal that was. Giles Coke from midfield, Jim O'Brien could create so much for you, put so many good balls in the box. Jamie Murphy, what a player he was for the club, and you've seen what he's gone on to do. And, that was a fantastic game. But I think I can't remember, that was a midweek game, or Wednesday or Thursday. But then we went to Ibrox on the Sunday. I think we were 3-1 down there, and we drew through it 3 each. So, it certainly wasn't a flash in the pan. That was just, like I say, during my time at Motherwell, there seemed to be so many high-scoring games that were end-to-end. And, as a striker, it's fantastic to play in. And as a fan going every week, it's fantastic to watch as well.
Yeah, it certainly was. And Laz, guy that was mentioned there was Jamie Murphy, who I mentioned this a couple of times recently. When I was speaking to Lee McCulloch the other week, I mentioned it as well, that when players leave for one of the Old Firm, perhaps they get kind of disregarded as, oh, well, he's a Celtic man or he's a Rangers man. And maybe their contribution to Motherwell is dismissed somewhat. It's hard to understate how good Jamie Murphy was in his time at Motherwell. And to be honest, when it looked like he might be on his way out at Ibrox recently, I would have loved to see him back at Fir Park, because it was fantastic. Nearly 200 appearances for the club.
Yeah, he was a great player. Great, as sort of said, I think we had a lot of creativity and the team at that time. And, Murphy was a big part of that. Great boy as well, great attitude. I think he's still the same to this day. He's obviously played down the Premiership now, and now he's at Rangers. He's none of that's changed him the way he is. Very humble boy, and just wanted to go out and play football. And that's how he looked when he was on the pitch. He looked at kind of street footballer, just wanted to take people on and create. And it wasn't much to him. He felt as if he could blow him over. But he was that elusive, kind of snake hips and go one way and go the other. And a great player to play with. And I think he played a lot of football very young. You know, I think by the time Murph was maybe 19, 20, he'd already played maybe 100 games, but probably similar to the likes of an Alan Campbell just now, you know, a young guy, but, you know, got a lot of games of football under his belt. And I'm sure that's, you know, stood him in good stead for then, you know, the rest of his career, getting a move and then, you know, getting another one. You know, I think that his time at Motherwell, I'm sure if you asked Jamie, I think he would have said it's invaluable, just the amount of football he played at such a young age. And I think, you know, looking at the team as a whole, I think what we had around about that time was a good balance in the team. I think back to teams that I played in, you know, I always speak about Mark McGee's first year. I think he's definitely the best football, first 6 months, definitely the best football. But I think, you know, what we had in Craig's time and certainly in Stuart's time, I look at a kind of starting 11, if you like. And I think what it had was a great balance. You know, it just had enough, you know, always a decent goalie, sort of says, you know, enough experience at the back with Alex Craggs. Then you'd maybe a younger Reynolds with a bit more legs and Sean Hutchison coming into the team. Stevie Hamill, consistent, you know, great quality. Haley, maybe myself, Jennings, but solid, but experience. And then you had these guys, you know, Big Sutty and whoever he was with up front. Then you had Higgy come in, goal scorers. And then in the wider areas, you had a bit of pace, you know, a Chris Humphrey, a Jamie Murphy. So I think if you look at that team as a whole, and I think even when we look at our team just now and you're thinking about recruitment and things, I think balance is a word that, I think about all the time is, have you got enough dig? Have you got enough legs? Have you got enough experience? Have you got enough, you know, all of these different attributes together? And I think the blend and the team round about that era, if you like, I think it was just right. And I think that's probably reflected in, you know, some of the success that we had.
Yeah, absolutely. I look at the next season in which Craig Brown left, Stuart McCall comes in and there's the run to the Scottish Cup final. John, you had 6 goals in the run up to the final. The final itself, obviously, a disappointing way to end the campaign, but so many highlights there. Even starting with the heavy victory with Dundee and going on to beat Dundee United in the Cup replay. They were the holders at the time. St Johnstone in the semi-final, the game wrapped up by half-time. And yeah, what looked like a very tight game in paper.
Yeah.
Was that when Sutty scored for about 50 yards?
He had to take on a bus. He was in the car park.
I remember that goal well, obviously. And to be honest, I needed to score at Hampden because he used to drive in with Laz most days. And he'd scored in the semi-final against Rangers.
It was a great layoff, Sutty. It was a great layoff.
It was a great toe poke for me, but I don't know whether I've spoken about this before, but I remember Laz, this is about a month before the game. He came in one day and told everyone about this unbelievable deal he'd got on a new pair of boots. He said, "You're all paying about 100 quid for these boots. Look, I've got them for 30 quid. So all the boys have looked at him for a couple of days. And then someone came in and said, "Lads, they're not actually the boots you're saying. They're like the, you know, the cheap ones. They're the ones that, you sort of get for playing on a Sunday pub league." And I think he was a bit upset about it, to be honest. But they are the goals they are the boots that he scored the goal against Rangers, which he claims is an absolute rocket. But it was a sort of horrible toe poke for me. And then he absolutely drilled it with about 15 bobbles into the corner. But I'm sure then what Laz could say about my goal, quite a long way out, and the goalie might have done a little bit better with it. But no, it was a great cup run. Again, I think if you go back to the start of it, the Dundee game, Stuart McCall had just come in, and that was his first game as manager. And Laz said about Craig Brown coming in as manager. I think Craig Brown left, everything was up in the air. I think Stuart McCall had a similar impact the way he came in. And again, the way he was as a person with all the players, he was in my opinion, a really good man manager, a really good guy, someone you really wanted to play for. And Dundee were on an unbelievable run at the time in the division. They were looking really, really strong. So to go there and win 3-0 was great. The two other games that spring to mind are the Dundee United one. I think they were the holders. They were really, really strong at that time. Really strong. The 2-each game up there was a great game, end to end. Managed to get a couple of goals, which was nice. And I remember going 2-1 up, and then Good Willie scored an overhead kick, which was absolutely brilliant. And then playing them at home, you know, he managed to run over the top of them, get through to the semi-final. The semi-final was brilliant. It's such a strange game, football, because I don't think we started the game particularly well. And I remember the sort of from, I don't know whether this is in Johnston dugout, whether it was their players, but I remember there was a lot of shouts of leave Craigs on the ball. and I don't think Craigs took it too well.
No.
And obviously,
then the celebration.
And Craig scores the first goal, and he ran away absolutely mental.
Right.
You know, telling St Johnston sort of dog out and the players what he thought of their shout of leave him on the ball. So that was the first thing in that game. And then the player we spoke about earlier, Jamie Murphy, I mean, what a goal that was. Then he picks up on the halfway, and like Lad says, he just sort of floats by boys like they're not there. Just absolutely skips by boys, drills in the bottom corner. What a goal that was. 2-0, you're obviously really happy. And then, you know, Franny Jeffers has given us a really good layoff and sat up nicely, scored the goal. It was great scoring a goal, but that feeling of 3-0, and I know we spoke about the 6-each game, you know, game's never over till it's over. But being able to really go out and enjoy the second half and with that cup final to look forward to was absolutely brilliant. So it was a great day. It's one of the best days in my career. It was fantastic to be a part of.
And the final, lads, it just didn't really happen, did it? It was one of these occasions where it felt it was almost written in the stars. The 20 years since 1991 and the build up. You can't help but getting a wee bit carried away by it. It was a very good Celtic side, and I guess there was that moment where Gavin Gunning's shot from even further out than Sutty's was. Cannon's back off the bar, and if that had went in, maybe a different afternoon, but it just wasn't to be in the end.
No, it wasn't. I think it's enjoyable, and I would agree with everything that John said there. That's definitely one of my most enjoyable games for Mullow, was that semi-final. I think it was that feeling, you know, I think that's as probably as nervous as I felt, or certainly up there, probably out with the playoff games actually against Rangers, I would probably say, round about that St Johnstone game, because you knew it was seen as a chance really, you know, against a team that was you know, similar size, if you like. It wasn't against one of the, you know, the bigger clubs, and you just felt it was a real chance to get to a Scottish Cup final. So, you know, to actually do it, as John says, I think it was certainly one of the kind of sweetest moments, one of the most enjoyable moments. But as you say, the final itself, no, we just never, it was one of those games where just for whatever reason, I don't really know, can't really put my finger on it. I know we tweaked things tactically a little bit. I think Hamill played as one of the midfield players, I think. Gavin played left back, and we just never quite got going, you know. And I think it probably would have taken, I do think maybe if that shot would have went in, I think maybe taking some of that maybe to get us going, ultimately would it have been, you know, let us win the cup, I don't know, but certainly it may have got us going a little bit. But overall, really disappointing, and a funny feeling, really. You know, you work that hard, and as I say, the semi-final was such a good feeling that, you know, you get into that, and it was, I think, just a kind of flatness, really, after that, to be honest. I remember after the game, and, you know, you get your loser's medal, and you're on the pitch, and it's kind of all ends pretty quickly, you know. You go up the tunnel, and it's, before you know it, you're either back in the house, or you're you know, you're, I think we might actually move back to the club, I'm not sure, but it's all kind of over, and that's it. It's done. Your chance of winning a cup's over, and it's, you feel as if, are you going to get another chance? So for as high as the semi-final was, it's definitely kind of one of the flattest moments I've had is actually the final itself.
I'd agree with that. And the disappointing thing was we'd actually beat Celtic at home that season 2-0, or 2 or 3-0, quite comfortably. And like Laz says, we did change it about for the day. I think looking back, would the manager have changed it if he had his time again? I don't know. It's always easy in retrospect, and obviously if Gavin's shot goes in, but I'm with Laz. It was a real flat feeling at the end of the game. And talk about the Odense one and the cup final. I had so many good times at Motherwell, but they were the two games you wish you could take back and have another go in, that's for sure.
Well, let's look at a more positive one. You had a couple of years away, John, and came back for the 2013-2014 season. That season ended with a classic at Pittodrie. I'm surprised that the BBC haven't shown the full 90 minutes of it.
I'm not even sure I would watch that game. That would be getting skipped to the last minute.
Yeah, and that's all that matters. Did you try and shoot from your own half with the free kick?
No, there's another. I think we spoke about this again before in terms of my footwear that day. I'm not sort of admired greatly. My nice white plastic Jonas, another wee freebie, which I've got still sit pride of place in my house. They'll be with me forever. But listen, that was just mad minute of my life, to be honest. I'm sure Sutty's life, of all our lives, so we're on that pitch. And you know, you go back to the cup final, and to me, that's what it must feel like to win a cup, you know, for that final whistle at Hampden to go, and that's you've won it. That certainly, that last minute of that game. And I think, because again, I've spoken about before, I knew it was the last kick almost, because I actually asked the referee before I stole my 20 yards on the free kick. I asked Stephen McLean about the time, and he said, look, pretty much this is, you know, last 30 seconds or 1 minute, I can't remember exactly what he said, but pretty much I knew it was the last kick. So I mean, my thought process was boot this ball as hard as you can, because I knew it was right on my limit, shall we say, in terms of being able to reach. So no, listen, it was get it in the mixer and cross your fingers. And luckily enough, Big Sutty manages to give Jamie Langfield a headlock, and you know, the rest is history, as they say.
You see, in those few seconds, there's so many emotions going on. I mean, the first one was everyone said, right, we better load the box here. And then we look back at the halfway line and say, I'm never going to reach with this little leg. What are you all doing up here? Well, good job we had the Jomas on. That gave him a bit of extra power. And then obviously the ball bounces and it hits a crossbar, or it looks like it's going in. And you're thinking, oh, brilliant, second place. But we're going to have to listen to Laz talk about for the next 25 years about his 50-yard free kick that went in. But then the things come back. Reedy smashed it. And the boy's hand, or someone smashed it. I think it's Reedy.
It's Fraser Kerr. The Fraser Kerr.
I'm thinking, oh no, I'm going to destroy everyone. Some here if I miss this. And unfortunately enough, Craig Rees sticks it at the end up, so all worked out well. But obviously, you know, what an assist and what ability from Laz to make such a position.
I'm reading the BBC match report as I do this, and John Sutton, who appeared to nudge him away from the flight of the ball. The world's most vicious nudge.
I think that would look good in the WWE, I think, that wee nudge, Sutty. Listen, I mean, you look at it back, and I think if it was in your own box, I think you'd be claiming for that, certainly. But, listen, just madness. I know we took a good support up there, and as I said, it just felt as if, I know we had won something in a sense that we'd clinched second place, but it did have that feeling as if you'd achieved something. And I think that's certainly the most ecstatic, or whatever adjective you want to put on it, that I've been on a football pitch, certainly. And I think again you go back to that team and the spirit and the what sort of said about what Stuart McCall then brought after Craig Brown. And you know, I think that probably epitomised his time in terms of to go to the last minute and still be, you know, I think we played terribly that whole week. I think we had three games and, you know, we won all three. I think we had to win all three and we won all three, and I don't think we put two passes together in any of them, to be honest with you. But, you know, we got the job done, and I think, again, going back to Stuart McCall, I think that's probably epitomised his era in terms of, you know, spirit within that team and willing to go right to the end and do whatever it took. And, you know, I think that last, as I said, that last couple of minutes probably epitomised that better than anything.
You talk about being ecstatic on the park, and fast forward the year, there was maybe a point where you were a slightly more ecstatic. The contrast in fortunes from second top to second bottom. You've got that two-leg playoff against Rangers, in which nobody really gave Motherwell much of a chance. Go to Ibrox and upset the odds. It was the first win at Ibrox in almost 20 years. It's still at 3-1, still somewhat in the balance, I guess. And the second leg, is it fair to say, John, that it was cagey the first half, or perhaps until Marvin Johnson's shot takes a deflection, I guess?
Yeah, well, I wasn't playing at that stage. I just came on for, you know, the last...
You're perfect to summarise then, because you had the best view.
Exactly. I had a good view of the game. I think the first game was crucial. The boys played really well. I think it was a very, very strange season. And obviously, you know, to finish how we did wasn't great. But going into the game, I think Laz probably summed up best from what I remember going into the game. You know, he sort of pointed out that, yes, it's Rangers, but it isn't the Rangers that, like, we'd played, you know, certainly when I was first up there. It's not like you're playing Ronald de Boer, Frank de Boer, and, you know, all these great players, you know. And I think leading up to the game, I think there was a feeling in the camp that, you know, it was by no means going to be an easy game, but there was definitely a feeling that we were more than capable of, you know, doing something. And I think the result at Ibrox set us up great. And like you say, then coming back to Fir Park, I think we recognised that we'd finish second bottom, that we weren't going to go out and batter them, you know, and play them off the park, but, you know, boys like Laz, Stephen Pearson, Stevie Hamill kept us well organised, kept us in it. I think, in fairness, we had a break with I'm not sure whether it's the first goal or the second goal. You know, maybe the keeper could have done a little bit better with. And it was good to come on at the end. And that was my last kick for the club, putting the penalty away. But no, the credit goes to, you know, like I say, the boys like Laz, Stevie Hamill, Piero, Big Mick, who are on the pitch performing that day. And, you know, I think we went into the game and it was pointed out to us that I think the club had been in the top league for 30 years, or it was going to be 30 years if we'd stayed up that season. And just to reiterate, it's incredible how successful Motherwell's been for the size of the club for so long, and, you know, hopefully that just keeps continuing.
Laz, John kind of downplays his part in that season. He did finish the top scorer at the club and a very significant goal record during his two spells at Fir Park. It must have been disappointing for you in a number of ways. Firstly, you lost your lift for the second time. You've obviously got a player that contributed so much, and leaving with many good memories, and leaving at least on a high note, I suppose.
Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, I think if you strip it right back to stats, I think Sutty's up there with, you know, some pretty impressive names in Motherwell's history in terms of goals to games and things like that. And, you know, I think his consistency levels, you know, very rarely injured, can, you know, always available. And I think his kind of attitude around the place, off the pitch, some always an example setter in terms of the way he worked at his game. You know, and that's probably going before a time, or certainly just kind of in the advent of your sports scientists and things like that. I think John was always programmed to look after himself, and not just in a sense of the gym and things like that, which he always did, and his fitness. But I think it both in a technical sense, in terms of, you know, how he done his own individual practice after training, things like that. And it sounds like small things, but it's certainly something that we speak to, particularly our strikers and things like that at the moment, where I'm sure John will not mind me saying, but, you know, sort of would stand with, you know, a bag of balls himself after training, while everybody else is talking about maybe where they're going to what they're going to be doing after training and this and that and sitting stretching. And sort of take, you know, a bag of balls or a couple of bags of balls and go and hit balls into an empty net. And I'm sure some of the boys at the time would turn around and say, what is that big idiot up to? But, you know, left, right foot and just drilling them into the bottom corners. And then, you know, it's, it, you know, being able to finish when you're through one and one or you're on the spin in the box, it doesn't happen by magic. It's repetition. And I think that's why John's, you know, goal record was so good. He worked hard at his game. And so he was a big loss, and I think he's, you know, he's a fantastic servant to the club, and I know somebody, you know, he's got, he don't need me to tell, he spoke his sale about how much he know the club's meant to him and how much he enjoyed his time there. And I know, you know, I know for a fact, if he's speaking to him now, that he does look out for the club, and he is, as a result, he looks out for, and it's a club that he wants to do well. And I think he's certainly somebody that will always be fondly remembered by everybody at Fir Park and all the fans, and any fans that I ever speak to, he's certainly somebody that they hold in very high regard.
And John, that's very, very complimentary words there. It would only be right that you return the favour and review Lazzy's singing after that playoff game.
And leave all my fake boots out here, right?
You want to come around, Laz? Oh, well. Now, me and Laz have always got on great ever since he said, where are you living? Is it in Glasgow? And is there a pickup point that you can meet us at? So me and Laz are off on the right foot, and it's continued from there. So what I'd say about Laz is I think you can, in some respect, put a few players in his boat. Every year at the club I was there, we always used to get told, you know, you probably struggle this year. You've lost this player, you've lost that player. You'll probably be down near the bottom of the table. And I used to look at it and think, hold on a minute. We've got a really good captain. We've got a really good leader and a really good player in the centre mid. We've got Hammy. We've got Murph. We've got big Darren in goal. Big Hutchie at the back. And used to feel really good about our prospects. I think what Laz brought to the club, apart from his performance, which was, you know, it's a hugely important area of the pitch, midfield. You know, Laz with his legs, I used to like playing with him. He used to pass the ball forward and he used to run beyond us and cause havoc for defences. I know I'm blowing smoke up his arse here. I can't say that he
was a scorer.
Only ever used to score. To be fair, he'd probably blame me for that, though, because when I left the club, he used to look at who scored for Motherwell every week, and I think he scored more.
I had one good season. I got seven one season. That's I'm still dreaming of that.
He did it a free kick at Dundee United from 42 yards once, hit the crossbar going in. But I think what he brought, though, you know, he took over from the captaincy from Craig's. And he set such a good example as keeping everyone included in what was going on. And I think we had a good set of players, full stop. But obviously, your captain's a leader of that. And the way he was about the place, and he set an example of sticking together when times were good, when times were bad. And obviously, I'm not at the club anymore. But I would imagine that he's doing that as a coach now. He's done great as a player. I think it's worth pointing out that he took the youth team to that Youth Cup final win as well. So it's been an unbelievable servant to the club, and hopefully, you know, that's going to keep going for years to come.
Well, there we go. To be fair, this is, I don't think the compliments could have been any better in both parties there. Brilliant stuff. Guys, I really appreciate your time today. It's been a great wee trip down memory lane, and I guess it just helps us forget about the world outside for an hour. So thank you very much.
No problem at all, Sparrow. Been a pleasure.
No bother, Andy. Cheers, mate.
You've been listening to the MSC podcast. I'll be back tomorrow. Until then, thank you and goodbye.
So we may be gorgeous, so we may be famous, come back when we're getting old. Cover us in chocolate, sell us to the neighbours, frame us in a video, clone us in a test tube, sell us to the multitude.